بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through mubtilat as-salah, those matters which invalidate as-salah. To revise from the previous lesson, what are the other names that the fuqaha use to refer to the mubtilat? Who can remember? Sometimes nawaqid and sometimes mufsidat. Mufsidat or nawaqid or mubtilat, it means the same thing, are those matters which invalidate a person's salah. And how many are the mubtilat as-salah? How many are they? No. Eight. The eight mubtilat as-salah. So they are al-kalamu al-amd ma'a al-dhikr, a person speaking intentionally, al-dhahik, laughter, al-aklu wa-shurb, eating and drinking, wa-nkishaf al-awra, the exposing of the awra, and we said it is the exposing of the awra which is fahisha, meaning it is done, it is for a long time. And then al-inhiraf al-kathir an jihat al-qibla, for a person to deviate away from the direction of the qibla a lot, i.e. all of his body. Al-abath al-kathir al-mutawali, and continuous movements in the salah where there's no need. And finally, intiqad al-tahara, for tahara, i.e. wudu, to be broken. Also, we went through some of the makruhat al-salah, i.e. those actions which are disliked in the prayer. They don't invalidate the salah in totality, but perhaps they take away from the khushu', or they take away from the reward of as-salah. So can anybody give me an example of one of the makruhat as-salah? If you, tafadhal.
Hunger, feeling hungry.
Meaning, offering your salah when you're hungry and the food is being served. And there's two things here. Number one, the food is ready and being served. And number two, you're hungry and desiring it. So if a person isn't desiring the food, even if the food is prepared, then there's no problem in going to offer the salah. It's all linked to a person that he's desiring the food, he wants the food, and the food's been prepared, and now the salah has been called. It's better to eat the food first and then go offer the salah. Also, another example of makruhat is salah, Shalila.
Rolling up of the sleeves.
Rolling up of the sleeves and tying the hair during salah, this is from makruhat. Anything else, akhi? Making sujood with your elbows touching the floor, or sitting down in the sujood with your backside sitting on the ground, all of this is from makruhat as-salah. And then we also spoke about some of the mubahat, some of those actions which are permitted in the salah, and maybe people think that they are invalidators, or people think that they are makruhat. So an example, Muhammad, of the mubahat. Picking up a child, an infant, if the infant is crying, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do with his grandchildren, that he'd pick them up, and when sujood came, he'd place them down on the floor again, and then when he got up for the qiyam, he would pick the children up again. Another action which is mubah.
Raising
the hand in order to return a salam, or raising the hand as an ishara, as a signal for something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ummul Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha, she wanted to come in, and he opened the door with his hand whilst he was in the salah. So making an ishara, as an example, if you need somebody to wait for you and he's about to leave and you're in the salah, so while still facing the qibla, you make an ishara with your hand. that you signal to him, do not move, stay where you are. This is something which is permitted. And there are other actions. Now,
somebody's wuzu breaks and he wants to go out, you have to fill up his sup.
Yeah, so a movement in the salah when there's need for it to be done so. Like preventing a person passing in front of you, or moving one or two steps towards the qibla in order to fill in a gap, and other matters like this. In this lesson, bi-idhnillahi wa tawfiqihi, we come to the 12th lesson which the author mentioned, and that is shurut al-wudu. Shurut al-wudu. And the word shurut is a plural of the Arabic word shart. And from the previous lessons, who can remember the meaning of shart? From the previous lessons,
a condition that has to be fulfilled before you
and do the act of worship. So a shart is a matter which is external to your to that ibadah, but it has to be fulfilled. As an example, salah, before you enter into salah, there are certain shurut, like at-tahara, al-wudu, facing the qibla, covering your awra, the entering of the time. All of these are conditions of the salah. These matters have to be fulfilled before you enter into the salah. So these conditions, these shurut, they are not a part of salah. They are not within the salah. They are external to the salah. They have to be fulfilled and maintained throughout a salah. And the author, Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he said, وَهِيَ عَشَرَةً, they are 10. أي شروط الصلاة are 10. First of them, al-Islam. He said, al-Islam, wal-aql, intellect, wal-tamyiz, wal-niyyah, the intention, wa-istishabu hukmaha bi-an la yanwi qat'aha hatta tutim taharatahu, and that a person maintains the intention for wudu throughout the wudu, wa-inqita'u mujib al-wudu, and to remove or stop that which necessitates wudu, wastinja or istijmar, making istinja or istijmar, wa tuhuriyatu ma'in wa ibahatuhu, and the water to be pure and for it to be permissible, wa izalatu ma yamna' wusuluhu min al-bashara, and for a person to remove anything which prevents water touching the skin, wa dukhulu waqti as-salah fi haqqi man hadathuhu da'imun, and the entering of the time for a person who is continually breaking his wudu. We'll go through each one by one. So the first of these shurut is al-Islam. And this means that if a person is not a Muslim and he performs wudu, his Islam is not accepted. Because the basic condition of every ibadah is a person has to be a Muslim. So if a person makes wudu completely, perfectly, washes everything properly, but he isn't a Muslim, then his wudu is not accepted. Or for example, if a person was making wudu and then he fell into kufr. He fell into kufr by making a statement of kufr. So he left the fold of Islam. His wudu is now broken by him leaving the fold of Islam. And so he has to repeat the shahada again in order to become a Muslim and then begin his wudu again from the beginning. And this isn't an example which cannot be imagined. Because nowadays, there are words of kufr which people sometimes say and they don't pay any attention to it, like mockery of the religion. So al-istihza bid-deen, mocking the religion, making a joke about al-Islam or one of the rulings of Islam, it is clear kufr. And it exits a person out of the fold of Islam. Whether he does it seriously or he does it as a joke, as a total joke, he mocks something about al-Islam. So, if a person leaves the fold of Islam, then his wudu is broken. Secondly, al-aql. And the meaning of al-aql is that a person has his mental capacities or he has intellect. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. The pen, i.e. the pen of responsibility, the pen of blame, has been lifted from three types of people. He said, "An-na'im hatta yastayqidh," the one who is sleeping until he wakes up. "Wal-majnoon hatta yufiq," And the one who is insane, he has a mental disability until he is able to understand. And he said, وَالصَّغِيرَ حَتَّى يَبْلُغُ, and an infant child until he reaches the age of puberty. So these three types of people, they are not held responsible by the Sharia. So if a person who is majnoon, if he performed wudu, then his wudu is not valid. Why? Because it's not an obligation upon him in the first place. Just as the salah is not an obligation upon him in the first place. As for a person who has a partial mental disability, then according to the level of the mental disability. So if salah is wajib upon him because he is able to understand enough that the salah is wajib, then the wudu is also valid from him. Third, at-tamyiz. And the meaning of at-tamyiz is the mental age of maturity. In the majority of the ibadat, it is al-bulugh, it is puberty, which is a condition. So the rest of the ibadat, once a child reaches the age of puberty, then the ibadah is obligatory upon him or her, and it is accepted from him or her. As for wudu, then it is at-tamyiz. And at-tamyiz is the age by which a child is able to distinguish. This is the meaning of at-tamyiz. Meaning, a child understands and differentiates between playing with water and making wudu. This is at-tamyiz. A child differentiates between the salah and between messing around. A child is able to understand a question and a command and a request. This is at-tamyiz. And some of the ulama, they say it is 7 years old. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مُرُّوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ السَّبْعِ. That order your children, meaning cultivate your children upon the salah, and they are 7 years old. Why seven? Because now they have an age of maturity. And then he said, النِّيَّة. And the niyyah, this is the intention. An-niyyatu, the intention. And the intention, what is the meaning of an-niyyah? It is azmul qalb ala fi'l al-ibadah imtithanan li amri Allahi ta'ala wa rasulihi. It is for a person to be determined in his heart, meaning to make a determined intention in his heart to fulfill a particular act of worship in complying to the command of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the next condition, we said it is a niyyah. And the niyyah, it is held in the heart. So a niyyah, mahalluha al-qalb wa talaffuz biha bid'a. The niyyah for every ibadah, it is always in the heart. And to utter or pronounce the niyyah upon the tongue, then this is an innovation. An innovation because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not used to do so. And when it comes to wudu, what is the niyyah for wudu? Because often, the majority of us, we make wudu, and we might not be consciously making a decision that I am making a wudu for this salah at that time. And this isn't the intention behind, or this isn't the intent behind the word niyyah. Niyyah means this action which you are doing, i.e. wudu, you know in your heart that I'm doing this for the salah. So as long as you know in your heart that this action I'm doing is for a salah, this is a niyyah. And therefore, if a person performs wudu just to refreshen up, he doesn't make the intention that this is for salah, he just wants to cool down, then he cannot pray salah with this wudu in inverted commas. Or if a person performs ghusl in the morning without the intention that this ghusl is going to be for tahara and for salah, so he performs the ghusl because he's going to work, or he performs a ghusl because he's come back from the gym, for example. Or he performs a ghusl just to generally refreshen up and to clean himself. He cannot pray salah in this ghusl. He has to have the niyyah, the intention in his heart, that this shower, this ghusl, this wudu, it is for tahara, and I'm going to be praying with it, reciting Quran with it, and so on and so forth. And then he said, وَاسْتِسْحَابُ حُكْمَهَا بِأَنْ لَا يَنْوِيَ قَطْعَهَا حَتَّى تُتِمُّ طَهَارَتُ. And this means that a person has to maintain the niyyah throughout the wudu. So if, as an example, a person made the niyyah to perform wudu, then halfway between the wudu, he changed his niyyah. And he thought that this is now just to cool myself, this isn't wudu. Then his wudu is broken and he has to start again. Then he said, وَانْقِطَاعُ مُوجِبِ الْوُضُوء, that a person has to cease from that which obligates upon him wudu. So we know that when a person urinates, he has to now perform wudu. If a person passes wind, he has to perform wudu. What happens if whilst a person is making wudu, he passes wind? Or in the middle of making wudu, so what happens if a person during the wudu, he passes wind? Or he needs to go to the toilet. His wudu is broken and he starts from the beginning again. And then he said, وَاسْتِنْجَا أَوْ اسْتِجْمَارْ قَبْلَهُ, making istinja or making istijmar before it. And istinja, this is for a person to cleanse his private parts after using the toilet with water. This is istinja. And istijmar, this is for a person to cleanse himself or his private parts using paper or stones or leaves or whatever is similar to it. And both of any one of these are enough for a person to be in a state of purity. So the best, most perfect type of purification is to combine between istijmar and istinja. This is the best. The first, a person does istijmar using paper or stones, and then he does istinja, he washes his private parts with water. He combines between both of them. This is the highest level. The next level down is making istinja only, using water only and the left hand. And the next level down, which is the minimum level, is istijmar only, i.e. only using paper or stones or leaves or whatever was used at that time. However, the condition with istijmar is that you have to cleanse yourself a minimum of 3 times. Meaning, you either use 3 different pieces of toilet paper or 3 different stones like they used to at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you use the same paper but in 3 different places. So not the place which is dirty on the paper, another place and another place. The minimum is 3 times. However, if after 3 times you still notice some impurity or some wetness which is being removed by the wiping of the paper, then again and again until the area becomes dry and clean. And also, there's a misconception that people have. They think that you have to make istinja before every single wudu, and this is incorrect. So istinja, it is a condition after you answer the call of nature, after you urinate or you defecate. As long as you have done it after urinating or defecating, then you don't need to do it again before wudu. Some people think that you have to make istinja. Every time you make wudu, you have to make istinja. And therefore, if they cannot find a place to make istinja, then they won't pray, because they think my wudu is not correct without istinja. Istinja or istijmar is done every time a person goes to the toilet. Once that has been done, then he can just make wudu without having to make a new istinja. Also, istinja, it is not a requirement after waking up from sleep. Neither is istinja a requirement after passing wind. It is only a requirement when there is a discharge from the frontal private parts or the back private parts, i.e. when a person urinates or defecates. And then, وَالطُّهُورِيَّةُ مَا وَإِبَاحَتُهُ, that the water has to be pure, and also the water has to be permissible, permitted. So the meaning of the water being pure is there is no najasa which is mixed in the water. So if a person finds a liquid, finds water, and there is some najasa mixed in with it, and how does a person know that there is a najasa mixed in with water? 3 qualities change. One of the 3 qualities. Its smell changes, or its color changes, or its taste changes, due to a najasa, due to something which is impure, this water you cannot make wudu with it anymore. So what do? You return and you go back to make a tayammum. You make a tayammum. That's tahuriyatu ma. That's the water being pure. As Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he said, wa ibahatuhu, that the water also has to be permissible for you. And therefore, according to the statement of the author, if a person stole water, he stole some water and then he made wudu with it, according to this, his wudu is not accepted and his salah is not accepted. And the example of this might be that the time for salah has come, a person needs to make wudu and he doesn't have any water, but he sees somebody else's water. So he goes and he steals the water from somebody else, meaning he takes it without permission in order to make wudu with it. We say his salah is not accepted and his wudu is not accepted. So even if there is water there, but he does not own the water and it isn't his right to use it, then he makes a tayammum. That's according to the statement of the author, rahimahullah. However, some of the fuqaha, they say that the wudu is correct even if he stole the water. However, he has a sin for stealing, because these are two different things. One thing is the validity of wudu. And when it comes to the validity of wudu, we only look at, is the water pure or not? Then there's an external action which he has done, and that is stealing. So these are two different actions now. Is his wudu valid in front of Allah? Yes, it is valid with Allah. Why? Because the water which he used, it was pure. However, his action which is external to the wudu of stealing the water, is this accepted and valid with Allah? No, it is not. So he has the sin for stealing. However, his wudu, it is still valid and correct. Why? Because the water, it was tahur. And then the next condition, the seventh condition, the ninth condition, it is izalatu ma yamna'u wusuluhu ila al-bashara, that you have to remove anything which prevents water reaching those limbs which have to be washed throughout wudu. And there are many examples of this, and these examples are common to us. So for example, a person wears a ring and the ring is so tight that water does not go under the ring. The ring has to be removed before performing wudu. Or a watch. Or a person works in the building trade and there is cement on his hand. This cement, it prevents water reaching his skin. He has to remove this first. So he washes his hands, he removes the cement, and then he performs wudu again. Or there is a woman and she's cooking at home and she has ajeen, she has some dough on her hands. And that dough, it prevents the water reaching her skin. She has to remove the dough first and then she performs wudu. Or a woman is wearing makeup or nail varnish, and this makeup nail varnish prevents water reaching her skin. She has to remove it first and she has to make wudu. This shows that those things which are on a person's limbs and they don't prevent water reaching the skin, then they don't necessarily have to be removed. So if there is nail varnish and makeup, and perhaps there is, Allah knows best, which doesn't prevent water reaching the skin, then there's no problem with this. Or for example, if a woman has henna on her skin, and this henna, it doesn't prevent the water reaching the skin, then there's no problem with this. And then finally, is a condition for those people continuously breaking their wudu. Some people, akramakumullah, they have a problem that they're continuously leaking from the front. So there's always droplets of water which are being discharged from their private part. Or they suffer from continuously breaking the wudu by passing wind. These people, what they do is, they perform wudu once the time of the salah has entered. So once the time of the salah has entered, they make wudu. If after that there are droplets of urine or a person passes wind, then it does not affect his wudu. Why? Because this is a type of illness. So this person, he doesn't make wudu an hour before. He waits until he wants to perform salah, then he goes, makes wudu. And then if after that the wudu is broken during the salah or before the salah, there's no problem in this. And this person has to make a new wudu with every single salah before he's about to pray. Also, another example of this is women who suffer from istihadha. And the meaning of istihadha is, it is vaginal bleeding, a bleeding from the vagina, but it isn't hayd. Because hayd, the menses, the periods, the women know them either by their time, meaning it lasts for 3 or 4 days, or sometimes it is known by the color and the smell of it, or sometimes it is known to the women according to when it occurs. So some women, akramakumullah, they know that the periods, they occur in the middle of the month, or the beginning of the month, or the end of the month. Istihadha is when they bleed continuously. So maybe for the whole month, they will continue bleeding. Or 2 months, or 6 months. This sometimes occurs. In their situation, they do the same. So hayd, menses, periodic bleeding, this prevents the prayer. As for istihadha, which is continuous bleeding, then this does not prevent the salah. In their case, they perform wudu before every salah and they protect themselves from the bleeding and they pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh radiallahu anha, he said, وَتَوَضَّئِي لِكُلِّ صَلَاةٍ, perform wudu for every single salah, because she used to suffer from al-istihadha, from continuous bleeding. So these are shurut as-salah. After this, we come to the next lesson, which is furud al-wudu, the obligations of al-wudu. And as a side benefit, the word wudu, it is pronounced in two ways, either wudu or wudu. So either there is a fatha on the waw, wudu, or there is a dhamma on the waw, wudu. And both of these words have been mentioned in a hadith. In one of the hadith, Uthman radiallahu an, amara bi wudu. He ordered for wudu with a dhamma on the with a fatha on the waw. If there is a fatha on the waw, wudu, it refers to the water by which you are making wudu. So wudu with the dhamma, this is the action. The washing of the hands, the washing of the face, the washing of the elbows. This is wudu with the dhamma on top. As for wudu with the fatha on top, then this is the water which you use in order to perform ablution. And as for furudul wudu, and sometimes they are called wajibatul wudu, the obligations of the wudu, these are those actions which have to be performed within the wudu. And if they are not performed, then the wudu is not accepted. So the difference between the shurut and the furud is the shurut are external to the wudu, before the wudu. And as for the wajibat, they are within the wudu. And they are six. 4 of these obligations are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah in ayah number 6, in which Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ لِلصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. O people of Iman, if you stand up for the salah, meaning if you intend to establish the salah, if you intend to pray, he said, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and wash your arms to your elbows. وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe over your heads. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet to your ankles. These are the first 4 obligations of the wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 6. And then Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاتَّحَرُوا, and if you are in a state of janaba, major impurity, فَاتَّحَرُوا, meaning perform al-ghusl. So what are the 4 furud or wajibat mentioned in this ayah? First of them, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces. And the madmadha, the rinsing of the mouth, and al-istinshaq, the rinsing of the nostrils, this is included in the face. And for this reason, the author, he said that furudul wudu, the obligations of the wudu, he has sitta, they are 6. He said ghaslul waj, wa minhu al-madmadha wal-istinshaq, washing the face, and this includes rinsing the mouth and rinsing the nostrils. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would make wudu, he'd wash his face, he'd also rinse his mouth and his nostrils. and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to rinsing the mouth and the nostrils is to take a single handful of water and to wash the mouth and the nostrils with the same handful of water. And a person enters the water with his right hand into his nostrils and he blows it out with his left hand from the nostrils. And also, it has been recommended that we do this excessively, meaning we should wash our mouth and our nostrils properly, and there's no problem with being excessive in this. And perhaps one of the wisdoms behind this is that the majority of the germs and bacteria which cause illness, they are found in the mouth and the nose. And for this reason, you'll see that whenever you become ill, if you've got cold or a fever or a flu, you notice that the smell in your mouth, it changes because of the bacteria and the germ in your mouth. And you see your nose is affected because of the bacteria and the germs. And a Muslim is encouraged to be excessive in rinsing the mouth and the nostrils when performing wudu, except in one situation when he is fasting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْمَضْمَضَةِ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. That be excessive when you are rinsing your mouth and your nostrils unless you are fasting. And then the second obligation which is mentioned in this ayah is وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and wash your hands to your elbows. And the meaning of washing your arms or your hands is from the fingertips to the elbows, including the elbows. And for this reason, the fuqaha, when they speak, they say, like as Shaykh Ibn Baz said, he said, وَغَسْلُ الْيَدَيْنِ مَعَ الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ. Ila, it has two meanings. Either it means to either had, it means to the limit of, or it means including. So if I said to you, wash your hands to your elbows, meaning you stop at your elbow, and therefore you don't wash that which is more than the elbow. But the other meaning of ila is ma'a, including. So you have to wash your hands to your elbows, including your elbows, and therefore naturally you will wash a little bit of your upper arm. Why? Because you have to wash the elbow. And this is important because sometimes when people make wudu and they're outside, when they roll their sleeves, they'll roll them to their elbows. And so they wash, and maybe the whole elbow has not been washed because they have only rolled up their sleeves to the elbow. So that which is correct is that a person rolls his sleeves above his elbow to his forearm, and then he washes the elbow properly and some of the upper arm. And he said, وَغَسْلُ الْيَدَيْنِ مَعَ الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ, washing the arms. I said the arms is from the fingertips, the nails, all the way to and including the elbows, beginning with the right and then the left. And then Allah says, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe over your head. And the wiping over the head is done with wet hands. So the difference between al-ghasl and al-masḥ is al-ghasl is taking water and splashing water on your limbs. As for al-masḥ, it is taking wet hands, meaning your hands are dripping with water, but they're not holding water, and you run your hands over your head. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, بدأ بمقدم رأسه, he would begin with the beginning of his forehead, حتى ذهب بهما إلى قفا, and then he would take his hands to his nape, I just the upper neck, ثم ردهما إلى ما بدأ من, and then he would return his hands to where he began. So when making masḥ, a person wets his hands, begins from the top of the forehead where hair normally grows, takes them to the top of the upper part of the neck, and then brings them back to where he started. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-udhunani min ar-ra's, that the ears are included in the head. Meaning, when a person is making masḥ, he doesn't then take more water, separate water, in order to wipe his ears. Rather, with the same hands, he wipes his ears. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, masaha bi ra'sihi, he wiped over his head, وَأَدْخَلَ إِصْبَعَيْهِ السَّبَابَتَيْنِ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ, he would wipe over his head and then he would enter his index finger into his ears. وَمَسَحَ بِإِبْهَامَيْهِ ظَاهِرَ أُذُنَيْهِ And then with his thumbs, he would wipe the outer part of the ear. So all of this is included in al-mas'h ala al-ra's. And it is done with the same hands which are wet. And that's why the author said, وَمَسْحُ جَمِيعِ الرَّأْسِ وَمِنْهُ الْأُذُنَانِ That a person wipes over all of his head, including the two ears. And then finally Allah said, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ And then wash your feet to the ankles. And we say the same thing here that we said regarding washing the hands to the elbows. Two, it means including. So a person has to wash from his fingertips to his ankles, including his ankles, and therefore he will end up washing a little bit from the shin. And then there are two more further obligations, and they are at-tartib. The meaning of at-tartib is in the correct sequence, i.e. in the sequence which we have mentioned. First the face, and al-madmada wal-istinshaq, and then the hands and the arms and the elbows, and then wiping over the heads and the ears, and then washing the feet to the ankle. So if a person does one before the other, then the wudu, it is not valid. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he performed wudu, he would do it in this order. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah in Surah Ma'idah mentioned it in this order. Then he said, Al-Mawalah, Al-Mawalatu. And the meaning of Al-Mawalah is that there should be no delay between the washing of one limb to the other limb. So if there is a minor delay of a few seconds or half a minute, then there's no problem. But if a person is making wudu, he washes his face, and then a phone call comes. So then he answers the phone call for, let's say, 10 minutes. And then he goes back to washing his elbows, then the wudu is not accepted. So al-muwala means there shouldn't be an extended break of a few minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. He begins talking to somebody. This is not correct. And the obligation is that these limbs which we have mentioned, they have to be washed once. So this is the obligation. However, it is recommended to wash them twice or three times. And in a number of hadith, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tawadda'a marra marra. He performed wudu only once, i.e. washing each limb only once. And in another narration, tawadda'a marratain marratain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he performed wudu twice and twice, i.e. washing each limb only twice. And then in the hadith of Uthman radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tawadda thalathan wa thalath. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed wudu, washing each limb thrice, three times. So the minimum obligation, it is once, and the perfect completion, it is three times. He said, the author said, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تِكْرَارُ غَسْلِ الْوَجْهِ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالْرِجْلَيْنِ ثلاث مرات وهكذا المضمضة والاستنشاق That it is recommended for a person to repeat the washing of the face and the arms and the two feet three times, and also the rinsing of the mouth and the nostrils. والفرض من ذلك مرة واحدة However, the obligation is washing them once. So as long as a person washes his limbs at least once, then the wudu is complete and it is valid. وَأَمَّا مَسْحُ الرَّأْسِ However, as for the wiping of the heads, then it is only done once. So there is no narration, there is no authentic narration that a person should wipe over his head more than once. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ